Are you saved? Do you know for a fact that you're saved today? You've been washed in the blood, born again, washed in the blood of Christ. Trusted Christ as your Savior. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. All right? Now, we get a lot of fringe benefits, but nothing else matters right there. All right. Well, it's Christmas time. And we're not going to preach a Christmas message, but we're going to preach in preparation because of Christmas. All right? I want you to listen carefully. We're going to do our best to preach right to you this morning. And preaching to me as well. Our world's in trouble. Our country's in trouble. And our churches are in trouble. Our homes are in trouble. Our schools are in trouble. There's just trouble everywhere. And Christ is still the answer. He's still the answer. He's always been the answer. He's still the answer. And we're going to have to trust the Lord. Christ being second place does not work. If he's not first place, then he's in no place. I want you to listen to that this morning. In your life, if you don't have him in first place, then he's not in any place. You may think he is, but if he's not first place, he don't play. Okay? Now, we try to stick him in there. All right? But it don't work that way. He is Lord. He is Lord. You don't make him Lord. Everybody listen to me this morning. You don't make him Lord. He is Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's first place. And you and me are the ones got to get in line. He don't have to get in line. You know, he's not getting in line for our time. He's not getting in line for us to sit on his lap or nothing else. He's not getting in line, you understand? He's not over here saying, well, I'll get my turn here in a minute. He don't play like that. Amen. He don't play waiting for us to give him our devotions, our worship, our praise. No. He's not sitting up here twiddling these thumbs. He's God. He don't change. And if we're right, we'll give him what he deserves.
Yes.
It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And we watered everything down to where everybody's okay and some are just a little better. But that's the way it is. That ain't the way it is. It's cut and dried. It's in or out, up or down, heaven or hell, right or wrong. You're either living for him, you're living against him. You're even helping him or hurting him. You're either gathering or scattering. Huh? It's simple. It's not hard. And he wants our life to be what he wants it to be. That's his desire. All right, we're going to look at this a little simple passage this morning. We'll call your attention to several things. But I know Christmas is not for everybody what it used to be. We had one of our Christmases. You know, we talk about how blessed we are. We started celebrating Christmas yesterday. So we had our first family Christmas yesterday. We'll have one this week and then one the next week. And you know, you should just have one. You know, back when we were poor, nobody had nothing, we had one. Now we have Christmas at our house, Christmas at so-and-so's house, Christmas at so-and-so's house, and we eat all the meals and have all the gifts, and we run ourselves ragged, and that's Christmas. And God is good to us, like that, to give us so many blessings. Undeserving is what we are, that's what the song said. But everybody, Christmas changes from year to year. And there's Christmases that are not as joyful, or not as happy, let me say it that way. It ought to be always the same, joyful, but not always happy because of people that's gone and people that ain't there, couldn't be there, these things. Sickness. Got a cousin in Charleston Hospital, had a stroke last Friday. And bad stroke. He'll spend Christmas in rehabilitation at the General Hospital. That'll be Christmas for me, but he ain't going to enjoy Christmas too much. Now they went down and a lady from his church brought a fiddle and played Christmas music there. That's the Friday evening, I reckon, played Christmas carols, and he enjoyed that. But it's not the same when you're in rehab for Christmas, you understand? So Christmas sometimes is not as happy for everybody. Spouses and gone, and parents gone, and my first Christmas this year without my mother. Some of y'all are in the same predicament here this year. Some without your dad. So Christmas sometimes is not looked forward to as it used to be. We got to learn to deal, learn to cope, and accept the changes. But the one thing that makes Christmas sometimes that we forget, and it's not the trees and the lights and everything, but it's the home. It's our home. I told you last week we'd be preaching on the home this morning. I want you to listen carefully as we look about our home. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, I know that I'm unworthy. I know I'm a wretch. I know that. And Lord, my mind is scattered and on so many things this morning, and look in the mirror and see myself, and look in your word and I see my insides, and Lord, I'm not what I ought to be. I don't claim to be. God, I need your help. Cleanse me, oh God, I pray. Touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit that I might be able to give to our people what you've given to me. Now, Lord, I don't deserve nothing. You have given me everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, Lord, for the hurt that's in our church family, Lord, I pray that you will help. Lord, for the problems, I pray that you would help us to trust you. For the trials, Lord, give us grace. Lord, for the needs we have, Lord, only come from you. Lord, I gotta depend on you this morning. Now, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. I'm trusting you to speak to us, to move us, and to change us, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Christmas time is the time when people get together and come home. Think about that, when we come home. I thought this week Marcus will come home for Christmas this week. That'll be good. BB, all of them come in yesterday for Christmas. That was good. You know, people come home for Christmas. Home gatherings are common. It's common to get together with and to eat and do all that. As I said, you know, we have food and fellowship and gifts. That's just what we do. Kids are happy. I got a little great nephew, and I mentioned it last year. I've never seen a child that had Christmas in their eyes like this little fella does. I mean, they glisten when he walks in. His eyes glisten like icicles and tinsel in his eyes. I mean, he's ready for Christmas now. This little fella, and that's the way we all used to be, maybe. But I thought the kids are happy and everybody else is wore out. We got trees and lights and all these things. I laughed. Roby Godfrey, Preacher Roby, sent me a thing this morning. He said, I was asked, now this is him talking, he said, I was asked what kind of Christmas lights I like. And he said, well, I like the tail lights of everybody when they leave. he said so. So, that's Christmas, ain't it? That's Christmas. And I think we can all relate to that in some way or another at times, all right? But that's just the way we are. Snowmen, and we ain't worried about reindeer. We're still trying to kill a deer. I mean, we ain't worried about that. Mistletoe, well, that's just Christmas, ain't it? That's just Christmas. But family's what makes Christmas. Family is what makes Christmas. It's not the gifts. It seems like our best Christmases is when we didn't have nothing to give. Our best Christmases is when it was just the family. You know, there was a time when you only got one gift. You know, there was a time when I don't never remember anything in a stocking. In all my years, I don't know. In fact, I don't even remember a stocking, Mooney. Do you? I don't even remember a stocking. Sometimes things was tight. Okay, that's when you don't even have a stocking. But years gone by, I remember Mom and Daddy talking about, well, they got an orange for Christmas. Wonder what our kids would do this year if all we got them was an orange. Huh? Just an orange. A candy cane, that'd be the rich people up the road got the candy canes for. You know, at the church used to give you an orange, an apple, and a walnut. Candy cane and a paper poke. Remember that? We went to church, that's what we got. We got an apple and orange, maybe a tangerine, but it's apple or orange or a tangerine, and a candy cane and a walnut. Huh? And that was, they couldn't wait to get in the car and eat that on the way home. Huh? But that ain't what it's about family. But I'm afraid that's what we're lacking the most of. When somebody wants something for Christmas, instead of getting them a game or a phone or a car, why don't we just get them a family? Why don't we just get our family to be what our family's supposed to be? Why don't we go back to the Bible and have a Bible family for Christmas this year? Why don't we start out next year with a Bible family and have everything like it ought to be? See, you know what we'll do? Now, I ain't going to do this, but there'll be some that'll watch Hallmark Christmas show. You know, I don't know. I've seen previews of them. All of them are the same. And they all got a good ending. They all got a good ending. You know what happens at Christmas? You know, the one that was left out comes home. All right? The lost love finds love. You know, the family couldn't get along. Something happens and all the family get back together. And that's what they're all about, ain't it? That's the Christmas specials. And that's good. I mean, even Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus come, it all works out for the good. Is that not right? Got happy kids, happy homes, happy families. But that's probably some of the biggest lies that's ever told, because we're living in a time where there ain't much happiness in the family and ain't much joy in the home, and homes are existing instead of flourishing for the Lord. And there's more trouble in homes today than there's ever been. And I'm not talking about the homes in the beer joint. I'm talking about the homes in the church house of people who are supposed to love God and have God and live for God. And the home is not what it ought to be. So we're going to preach on the home this morning for Christmas. Here, several years ago, we preached a series on how things down at your house. And that's what we're going to use as a title this morning, is how are things down at your house? All right? How are things down at your house? It's Christmas. How are things down at your house? Joy to the world. Is that what it is? Huh? There's our thing, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Huh? Yeah. I mean, what is our joy? What is our peace in the home? I'm afraid we don't have much. When I read through the Word of God and talking about home, thinking about homes, it ain't a Christmas home, it's just a home. A home where it ought to be. And I read in Matthew chapter 7, and it talks about a wise man building a house on a rock, and a foolish man building a house in the sand. And it talks about salvation. Christ is preaching about salvation. He's talking about the two ways, a narrow way and a broad way. And then he talks about those who pretend to be saved, that in that day he'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and this? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he says he would liken it to a man who built his house on a rock. And the winds come and the rains come, but the house stood firm. And the man that built his house on the sand, when the storms come, the house went flat. All that's talking about salvation and having a home with a solid foundation of Christ.
Right.
You can't build a home without Christ. Now, you got a worldly home, maybe, but you don't have a Bible home. We've looked at homes down through the years of the faithful homes of Abraham and the backslid homes of Lot and the wicked homes of Ahab. We've used them men as examples throughout time and in years past. And all of that represent us somewhere or another. The faithful home of Abraham going and doing what we ought to do. The backslid home of Lot taking his family to the world and watching his family perish. Or the lost home of Ahab, who marries into wickedness and becomes the wickedest king and having the wickedest wife that ever lived, Jezebel. I mean, this is our life today. Is it not? We wonder why we have problems. We wonder why we have issues, and we wonder why things are the way they are. It's because of the shape of the home, the condition of the home. Cheryl Ann was giving me some news report there last night. We were sitting there. She said, "This is awful." I said, "What? What's awful?" She said, "Well," she said, "at a spelling bee, they made the kids spell. They wanted them to spell. And I forget this right. The word was woman, but they spelt it without a W-M-Y-N. They didn't want men in woman, or man in woman, and they spelt the difference because of they didn't want to offend someone who was transgender." Cheryl said, "That's awful." I said, "Well, that, you know whose fault that is? It ain't the school's fault. It's parents' fault. It's the home's fault. All of our issues and all of our problems come back down to the home." Right. Now, you can't make your kids. You cannot. But I believe the Bible teaches that you can live the Bible way and your kids will turn out right.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, it's in there.
Yes.
It's in there. And I know there's arguments. And what it is, if we got messed up kids, it ain't our fault. It's somebody else's fault. Well, keep them away from somebody else. And it won't be their fault no more. Alright? Now, well, we're going to preach some things more and probably won't make you happy. Alright? I'm wanting you to have a good home for Christmas. I'm wanting us to have a good church in 2025. I'm wanting us to have a good judgment seat. How about that? And it's not my home, the perfect home. We're going to look in the Word of God for the perfect home. We're not going to say follow the preacher. All right? We're not going to do that. I had a lot of things that I wished I could go back and change that I can't. You can't go back and change anything in your home today. But you can start where you're at. You can start where you're at and change things now. Some of y'all that's got these little babies carrying around and that's all you got, this is where everything's starting for you, then you won't have no excuse this morning. You're in here and you need to get in here and do right. Man, if some of us older ones could go back and change some things, man, I'd change some things away. And I don't have no problem with Marcus and Philip, but I'd change some things in my life. I would. I'd be a better daddy than I was. Huh? Be a better husband than I was. I want to be a better husband these next 43 years, Cheryl. Now, I failed these first 43. I want to be a better one these next 43. Huh? You understand me? We can always do better from now. We can't go back and change. But we're going to have to look. There's too much going on in our life this morning. And the Lord is getting the blunt end of it. So let's look at some things here when we think about how things down at our house, you know. How are things, you know, when the new year holds for your home? What's it going to hold for you? Is it going to hold blessing? You know where your home's headed this morning? Is it going to hold blessing or separation? You know what shape things are in? Huh? Is it going to, are you looking at divorce this morning?
Lord help, no.
Are you? Can you say, Mark, this is supposed to be a happy time. Listen, this is a real time.
Yes, sir.
You want a happy home? Then walk with God.
Amen.
We got homes today that's teetering. Our homes don't mean nothing. Marcus told me this. Now this is funny, and I reckon it's a joke. But I thought it was funny. But this is our attitude. I told Trista and Bibi this yesterday. Said the man was in the back room and he heard his wife watching TV. And she was in there and she was vocal, very vocal. I said, it's like Cheryl Ann. I told her this, Cheryl Ann. You know, she hollers at a ball game. She talks to the people on the TV, throws cushions and pillows and does all that, you know, dumps something down. And she really does. She does that. And I thought she was in there screaming at a ball game. She had a muscle cramp and I just stayed in bed. I didn't even help her. I mean, that's like, she was watching. Anyway, the woman was watching TV and he heard her holler and says, don't go in there. Don't go in there. And then a little bit later she said, don't say that. Don't say that, hollering at the TV. Don't, you're making a mistake. Don't. And finally the husband came in and said, what are you watching? A horror movie? He said, no, I'm watching a video of her wedding. That's where we're at. That's where we're at today. Huh? Huh? Your mind's going back, ain't it? You just walk into church and walk down the aisle. Then said your vows and try to talk yourself out. Listen to me this morning. We're in trouble. We're in trouble today. And I'm going to give you three examples here. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 24 for a text this morning. Not to try to find a text for the message, but a message from the text. How about that? All right, listen very carefully. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Through wisdom, it says, through wisdom is an house builded. Through wisdom is a house builded. By understanding, it is established. The Bible tells us and shows us how to live and how our home ought to be and how our lives ought to be. We look at the world and we get our examples from the world and we let people of the world... Listen, I'm not interested in what Hollywood thinks of politics or the church, and that don't interest me. You know, I'm not interested in their opinion. I'm not interested in anybody's opinion. I'm interested in what the Bible says. For the Bible's true. Do you believe that? The Bible says, let God be true and all men lie. The Bible's what's true this morning. And the Bible gives us some examples, if you would. I know our homes have things that we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have tragedies. We're going to have sadness. We're going to have sorrow. If your home don't have sorrow this year, well, next year it might. Or the next year. We're not... everybody's going to be that way at somewhere... or another. I mean, somebody's going to die. We're going to be missing. Somebody can't get there. Somebody's going to work. This kid's going to get sick. That one's going to be in the hospital. There's life that comes, but that don't have nothing to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Circumstances should not dictate your relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
That is right.
Amen.
But your relationship ought to change the circumstances that you find yourself getting in.
Yes.
Yes. True.
It's the Lord that matters.
Yes,
all right? When we think about a Bible home, that we can give you piles of scripture, we're just going to give you some thoughts and quit. All right? But when we think of a Bible home to start with is a man and a woman. All right? And if the home ain't a man and a woman, you ain't got a home, you got an abomination. So let's go ahead and make sure everybody's on the same page there. It's a man and a woman.
Yes.
And nothing else constitutes a home. A man and a woman. All right? That's a home. That's a Bible home. And a Bible home, is a enjoying home.
Right.
A home ought to be enjoyed. You ought to want to go home. You ought to be happy at home. I love what Dennis Kincaid has said for years. East or west, home is best. Huh? Home. It ought to be good. Can I tell you that some of our homes ain't Bible homes because the husband dreads to go and the wife dreads to go. To be anywhere but home. It ain't the house that makes them uncomfortable, but it's the atmosphere down at the house. How are things down at the house? Huh? I usually don't go where I ain't wanted.
That's right.
I usually don't go where I'm going to be in a bind.
Right.
Huh? I'm not built to be bound very much. Huh? Are we understanding one another? But a Bible home ain't like that. A Bible home this morning is a man and woman enjoying a good atmosphere. Brother Rick tells us they no fussing allowed.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
They no fussing allowed in a Bible home.
Right.
So I fuss all the time. Let me say, in a Bible home ain't no fussing allowed.
Amen.
Right.
Well, everybody fusses. In a Bible home ain't no fussing allowed.
Right.
There are no clause in a Bible that says you get married, there's a time to fuss. There's no hidden clause in a marriage contract that says certain times of the year you're allowed to go fast. That ain't what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible speaks of peace and joy and love.
Right.
He says, well, I don't believe that. Well, I know.
Yeah.
I know you don't. So does everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? That all right? Popular, ain't it? See, we think about a Bible home, we think about the husband. The only thing you're going to find about a husband in the Bible, there's actually two things you're going to find about a husband, and that's it. And that's the first thing is loving. A husband ought to be loving. Listen, that don't bother me. I appreciate if what I have 12 weeks this spring on love, I ain't looking for you to say amen. Huh? I want you to wake up and listen. Huh? Husband's supposed to be loving. But you're not just loving like the world loves, but you love like Christ loves, and that's unconditional. Husbands are to love like Christ loves, that's unconditional. It don't matter what the woman does, says, acts. The husband's supposed to be loving unconditional. The husband's supposed to be loving. If you want a Bible home, the husband has to love unconditional.
Yes.
Whether the eggs are burnt or the toast is burnt, huh? Don't matter. Whether your clothes are washed or whether your clothes are ironed, don't matter. Whether your house is clean or house is dirty, don't matter. You married her. You love her. Yeah. You ought to love her. And then you need to lead. That's the only two things in the Word of God that's laid out for a Bible home, is that the husband loves like Christ loved the church, and then example after example of the husband leading, being the leader of the home. Spiritual leader.
Right.
Moral leader.
Right. Amen.
That ought to be the husband.
Yes.
The husband's supposed to lead. He's supposed to love. He's supposed to lead. It's amazing. Brother Rick didn't know I was going to preach on a home like this morning. And he mentioned in Sunday school, in Genesis, teaching that the man was the head and the woman was not the neck that turned the head. Well, that's not coincidental, Brother Rick. We didn't discuss our lessons. I had no idea. But that's the only two. You want a Bible home. The husband needs to be loving like Christ unconditionally and leading spiritually, morally, financially, every way ought to be the lead.
Yes, that's right.
That's Bible home.
Yes.
That's for the husband. And the wife. In the Bible home, the wife, there's simple things laid out, really, too. Submitting. The wife is supposed to be submitting and loving. The only thing is that the husband ought to be able to love naturally, and the wife's got to be taught it. If you read your Bible, the husband's given the command, he ain't supposed to be taught it. It's Christ in him loving the wife like Christ loved the church. But for the wife to love like she are too, the older women's supposed to be teaching the younger ones how to do it.
Yes.
That's Bible scripture.
Yes. Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
But the submitting is supposed to come natural because of Christ in you.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear those bells ring, ring? Joy, joy, hear them ring. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Huh? We okay? We're talking about the wife. There's a husband loving and leading, and the wife submitting and loving as Christ. See, the only example of love in the Bible is Christ. As man supposed to love the wife supposed to love the husband. Can I go ahead and tell you, she ought to love him unconditionally too. You know, we stink. We're dirty. We ain't. You know, we can clean for a wife, and it don't matter. It ain't clean until they clean it. It can sparkle, but if we cleaned it, it ain't clean. That's not true. We're trifling. You know, we do not care if our clothes are in a pile. We know what pile they're in. We do not care if our socks are left in our shoes. We're going to put them back on in the morning. We don't care. We don't care if our coffee cup is there by the coffee pot. It don't need to be put in the cabinet. I'm going to use it here in the morning. But the wife don't look at it like that. The socks ought to be in a hamper or in a drawer, one or the other. Huh? The coffee cup ought to be cleaned in the cabinet or in your hand drinking it, one or the other. Is that right, ladies? But we're not made like that. But you gotta love us anyhow. You gotta love us anyhow. Because we got to love you when we go to the bathroom to brush our teeth. And there's 15 hairbrushes and 23 mirrors and 47 tubes of makeup and cords of hair dryers and curling irons. You got one to curl it, one to flatten it, and one to blow it when it's wet. And all you want to do is brush your teeth. You like to go use the bathroom, but there's so many covers and frillies and you don't know what to do. That all right, guys? But you gotta love them anyway. What I want you to understand is we all got things, and we all got stuff that goes on, and stuff that may not be to suit exactly what, but that ain't got nothing to do with loving and leading and submitting and loving. That ain't got nothing to do with it. To be a Bible, have a Bible home. We got to love and lead. And ladies, you need to submit. You need to submit. All right. Can I say this tenderly? You need to learn to shut up. I know, nobody likes to say it. A lot of people ain't got enough nerve to say it. But women need to learn to shut up. Talking about a biblical home. The biblical home was Sarah called Abraham Lord.
That's right. Amen.
You know why she called him Lord? Not to put him up with God, but the reverence that she would the Lord. How's your mouth with the Lord, ladies?
Hello.
You talk to your husband the same way you do the Lord? I'm just preaching this morning on home. I'm not running for office. Talking about a Bible home where there's a good atmosphere. No fuss and laugh. Then we got children in the home. We're talking about a Bible home. Got children in a home that's nurtured. There's only two things about a child that I can find that's nurtured and for a child then to obey. Now, if I'm missing any of this, y'all have to let me, y'all bring the scripture to me, but I can't find much else other than we nurture a child. Now, to nurture a child, I need to teach the child. I need to develop a child. I need to love the child. I need to train the child. And then a child needs to obey. Now, with that nurturing comes discipline. Now, I'm not for abuse of a child. I wouldn't stand for the abuse of a child. And I better not hear about anybody abusing their child. Years ago, we had a problem with a child being abused, and it quit. We made some visits, and things quit. We'll just stop there. Everybody understand? We'll continue that. All right? But we're not going to abuse the kid. But anybody that don't discipline their kids don't love them. The Bible says a child left to himself brings his mother shame. The Bible says not to spare for the crying. The Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible says that we ought to discipline. But the Bible says the child ought to obey. We're talking about a Bible home. We okay? Better get off that. That's the Bible home, man. We have trouble with that Bible home. Listen, I'm trying to keep us out of trouble. Trying to keep us out of trouble. Trying to keep a church where the church ought to be running, where it'll be running right and well. Huh? Children have a lot of problems. You go downstairs and talk to these children that don't have no parents or don't have the right parents. Listen to me. We've already went in the homes and got the kids on the bus and the parents was passed out from drugs and alcohol and the floor, and we help them get them dressed and get them on the bus and bring them back home when the parents are still passed out in the floor. They didn't even know their children were gone.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
But we got permission to get them on the Saturday. We've done seen it. We've done gathered up the food, and the kids wouldn't eat all the food because there wasn't nothing to eat at the house.
Right. Right.
We've then gathered up all the extras on the bus and took them into the apartments and the homes.
Yep.
And the family ate what then the kids ate. We've done seen that. There's a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Huh? I'll never forget about the young girl, the teenage girl, that ate her breakfast on the bus downstairs, ate her breakfast on the bus, and they gave her lunch to go home. She said, "No, thank you, I ate this morning." And they said, "No, honey, this is your lunch." She said, "Well, can I take it home and let mommy have it? Because she won't have nothing today."
Yes.
Man, that's the homes that we're dealing with, can I tell you? Now, I expect that in the world. I expect it. But can I tell you, there is church kids. And I'm not saying there are church kids, but there's church kids that's neglected. They might eat. They may have plenty. They may have clothes. But they don't have no time with mom and dad. They're neglected. Huh? And they're not nurtured. They're not trained. We still okay? We're talking about a Bible home. Then we look at another home. We'll let you go here. We look at another home. We think about it. It's a cultural home. See, we're so bad about our culture. Brother Boyd goes to Kenya, and he comes back and tells him, he said, "Well, no, their culture is this.
Yep.
Their culture is this." And Brother Bob goes to Burma, and he comes back and he talks to me, sitting there in the living room, and says, "Now, you know, it's their culture that they do this." And I think, well, what's our culture? What's our culture? Man, our culture, it could be safe, could be lost. Yeah. In our culture. We still okay? See, biblical home was enjoying, the culture home was enduring. How about that? The biblical home is enjoying. You enjoy your home. But the cultural home is an enduring home. Do you endure your home? Maybe because you have a cultural home and not a biblical home.
Come on.
Do you endure your home? You know, in a cultural home, listen to me now. Listen to me. We're committed to the kids, not one another. Huh?
Come on.
We're committed to the kids. The kids are not nurtured, but spoiled. You know, the kids are the boss. In a cultural home, in today we're living, there's no mom, dad, and kids. It's a man and a woman, or a man and a man, a woman and a woman. That's kids are there, and all attention is on the children.
Right.
Sometimes they're neglected completely, but usually it's the tensions on the children. You see it on the TV. You see it on the TV when they promote two men adopting kids. When they promote two women adopting children. That's our cultural home. That's our cultural home. When spouses tolerate one another, they tolerate, there's no love, there's no love, it's only marriage. In fact, they're not even married. The culture today, marriage is down, divorce rate is down, because marriages are down. The culture is to love who you with and sleep with who you want. Have kids with who you want and raise like this and there's no commitments to nothing. But if there is, it's toleration. It's not love. It's toleration. We got husbands and wives today that tolerate one another. Tolerate each other, and the houses are full of tension, friction, and anger. Your house full of anger? Huh? Our culture is the Boone family. Off Andy Griffith, that throws the dishes and collars and swarps and name calls. Live in the same house with little personal care. Cultural home today is we don't have sex is the only thing that is warranted. Not care. Complaining, never satisfied. Supper in a bag. That's our culture today. Supper in a bag. Ain't no supper table no more.
Hello.
Ain't no sitting down at supper table with mom and dad and children praying at the table. It's supper in a bag.
Come on now. Huh?
You know that our children downstairs don't even know how to eat some of the meals they're fixed. See, everybody don't go downstairs and notice, but they don't know what they like because they've never had it. In Roman noodles. What are they? Same thing. Ramen, Roman, Remen, I don't know that. I've never eaten them. And they say they like them. Are we okay this morning? We're talking about culture today. Always tired of running here and there. Let me ask you something, Holmes. Let me ask you something, moms and dads and children. Do y'all ever have time that you sit and enjoy one another, that you enjoy the spouse and enjoy the kids, that you're not running just to please the children? Do you ever take time to talk to your children? What was somebody told me this week? If you don't take time to talk to your children when they're little, when they get older and have problems, they're not going to come and talk to you. And they'll find their answers somewhere, whether it be godly or ungodly, matters not. I'm not beating nobody. I'm not trying to bring up anything. I'm telling you today that we need to have a biblical home. Listen, our country's in sad shape. Our churches are in sad shape. Listen. Cultural. You know, I laugh at people. Cheryl tells me I'm born in the wrong generation anyway, or I was born and reincarnated as a rat or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, our parents, our grandparents, they was peace in the home. They work harder than we work. They work longer hours than we work. Without any amenities to help. But yet, they smiled, they laughed, they had time with their children, they played. They've always had sports. Listen, I don't have nothing wrong. I want to clear this up. I'm not against sports for anybody, okay? Does everybody understand that? People played sports for years. They've had ball teams. All the cold camps around, they all had ball teams and adults play. I'm not against sports. I'm against anything that keeps you out of church.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I'm against anything that keeps you out of church. If you got a disease, I'm against that disease. Huh? You got a broke foot, I'm against casts and crutches. I mean, it don't matter, whatever keeps you out of church. I'm not against sports for kids. I'm not. I'm not against sports for adults. I just don't think a man's worth $750 million for 15 years of ball playing now. Ain't no man worth that. Okay? I'm talking about we don't have time for family. We don't take time for family. Oh, I go on vacation every year. All right, let me explain your modern-day cultural vacations. you work double shifts or long hours to try to get to go somewhere for a week, and you run and cram all kinds of stuff in it, and when you get home, you're wore out, and your kids are flustered, and you're aggravated, and you come home and he's on vacation. There's no time. Because the culture don't allow that today. The culture is not for family. The culture is for your family to bust up. The culture is for your family to have misery. Our marriage, our home shouldn't be misery. It ought to be mighty. Then the third home was the doomed home, the endangered home, the eroding home. The home was falling apart. Where, listen to me now, men, listen to me, women, listen to me. Where love is turned to like. Where like is turned to hate. Then you're busted up. Where we lose our children when they turn 18 because of the hypocrisy that's in the home. That's the doomed home. That's the eroding home. That's the home in danger. Where people wait till it's too late to fix it. Where we spend our time in the cultural home and investing all of our time in the children. When the children are gone, the spouses are strangers. They can't live in the same house because there's no children there. They don't know who one another is. That's the doomed home. The doomed home. See, the divorce rate is not up in 18 to 25 year olds. The divorce rate is not up in the 6 to 10 year marriages.
Come on.
The divorce rate is up to the 30 and 40 year marriages.
Yeah.
That's where the divorce rate's up. Why? Because it quit being a biblical home. We fixed problems. It's Christmas time. Hallmark tells us we can fix them. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. This is the time to fix our problems at Christmas. Because of Christ. In a doomed home, Christ is out of place. In a cultured home, Christ is usually not mentioned. Church is. That's our culture. Our culture is go to church. But a biblical home, that's Christ. If you have Christ this morning, Cheryl, go to Penn. Listen.